what is it that makes WordPress special? And what if I put that in the center of the universe? How is somebody going to use this around their WordPress site? Nobody's really looked at it that way.
Welcome to another episode of the Rogue Startups Podcast with Craig Hewitt and Dave Rodenbaugh. This is a podcast documenting the journey as self-funded business founders and sharing lessons, tips, and tricks for businesses following the same path as ours. The journey is long and winding, but we're glad you're joining us for it. And now it's time to go rogue with Dave and Craig.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Rogue Startups Podcast. This week, Dave and I are catching up on what is new with our business and specifically dealing with the grind. I think Dave and I are seeing ourselves in the trenches of our business these days as they're sort of established and been around for a while and getting through this part where not a lot is necessarily new, but figuring out how to bring it to the next level. So, Dave, how's it going?
I'm doing pretty well. You know, I've actually had a pretty productive week. So, I'll just jump right into my update because that's all about what I've been working on this week.
Let's hear it.
Yeah. So I have, since Support Vine has been shelved officially and I've kind of gotten over my stages of grief, anger, denial, acceptance, and whatever the hell the other one was, forgetfulness, I guess.
Denial ain't just a river in Egypt.
Exactly. Yeah. So now that I've kind of, moved past all of those stages here and I've heard from several people that are like, yeah, I totally understand. You know, I killed my business too. It sucked. I totally feel where you're coming from. It's like, yo, that's great. You know, it's great to hear other people that struggled with all of this. But having, gotten to a point where I'm like, all right, I'm ready to move on. I came to the conclusion that, if I was going to jump into something, I should jump into something with strength, not weakness.
Mm.
And the place where I'm the strongest is it's the most obvious, and I've really struggled with this, but I have a tremendous list of subscribers to both of my plugins to the tune of like 9,000 or so. And I would be absolutely idiotic to ignore the power of that list and the group of people whose ears I basically have direct access to. So instead of like trying to find a SaaS, while the holy grail of recurring revenue is wonderful, I might as well play to my strengths. And if it becomes, that I have a portfolio of 4 high performing WordPress plugins, so I get some diversity there instead of just worrying about recurring revenue, because my main concern with WordPress has always been, okay, I make a sale and, I get a decent lifetime revenue out of that, but it's usually that's it. Some of them renew, not all of them. A lot of them, the lifetime of a site is not necessarily that long. And if people are building, I get a lot of freelancers that build sites for clients and then the clients flake out after a year. They're like, yeah, I've moved on. I don't want to do this anymore. You don't get any renewal out of that. So, that was the thing that I struggled with. So instead of trying to go back to SaaS, I'm trying to go the WordPress direction. And so I have spent the better part of the last 6 weeks just trying to figure out what specifically I kind of wanted to target. And I realized that – so I had a real estate plugin that I was putting together and I acquired from another guy. And I got that revamped and I posted it back on the repository. I kind of had a disappointing response to that one. And part of that was my fault. I didn't actually promote it very hard. But I wanted – part of it was an experiment. I just wanted to see what demand it would trigger on its own. But what I found was that the real estate, even though it seems like there's a lot of money in real estate, there's a lot of real estate agents that are building websites, WordPress is the obvious CMS powering 25% of the internet, seemed like an obvious thing. Mm-hmm. It turned out that there are some consequences to trying to integrate real estate systems with WordPress, specifically along the MLS IDX lines. And, I didn't really know much about MLS. And after I got into the plugin, I did more research because it did. I got the plugin for free, so it was like, sure, why not? I'll take it and I'll jump now and I'll find out if I can, if I'm gonna have a parachute on the way down or not. And I found that MLS is a huge fucking mess.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like so many regional MLS databases, and they're all different. Every single one of them. None of them are compatible. Like, there are specific regions that you can work within, and that format works for that region. But if you go to a different region, it's slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all different in different ways. It's not like you could say, okay, well, there's a core set of fields. I mean, the core – they can't even agree on the core fields across the MLS. I'm like, what the hell? Who designed the standard? So it obviously goes back like 20, 30 years when they were building this, when they needed computerized systems, and everybody sort of homegrew their own solution, and then they later all called them MLSs. And I mean, it's a major mess. Anyway, to integrate with that is like – the biggest headache of any WordPress site that exists. Like, I was reading on Advanced WordPress. I started digging through people's responses on there, and I was looking at guys that were doing real estate sites, and they're all like, oh my God, do not do real estate websites for WordPress. And then, you know, there were guys that are like, yeah, I specialize in this, and this totally sucks, but I've gotten really good at it, so, you know, I kind of understand the quirks, and I work within these regions. And it's like, okay, well, I could invest a ton of time and energy and expertise to try to get there. But it seems like either you're going to have to deal with all those quirks under the hood and create the unified system, but nobody's made that holy grail, or you're just going to be buried in support with all these weird systems you're trying to integrate with. And I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. Maybe this isn't so great after all. So the real estate one, I still have it, but, you know, I've kind of put it off to the side. And since then, I've been digging around, and I sent out general surveys to the population of WordPress folks that I had. I sent it out to about, like I said, 9,000 people.
Customers.
Yeah, these are all okay. – well, they're depends on your definition of a customer. If you're talking about somebody who literally bought something from me, I don't know that 100% of these all bought stuff. A lot of them have definitely downloaded and installed the directory plugin or the classifieds plugin, and they're using it. They may or may not have upgraded to premium modules. I haven't cross-referenced that in my – like my drip campaigns don't integrate with EDD to tell me about who bought and who didn't. I probably should do that, but I haven't.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so, you know, this is basically 7,000 or 9,000 users of my plugins that are out there. And so I got a few hundred responses actually back on the original survey, which I was very impressed with, because survey response rates are typically very low. So, you know, when you got 9,000, that 300 back is still pretty good. And I, you know, was asking them general questions about what are the things you struggle with the most, and what do you define as success in your business? And, you know, are you a solo? Are you a freelancer? Do you work for an agency? Are you the site owner? So I got, you know, some demographic information and some background stuff on my people. And it was actually very interesting to get that information back, because once I did, I suddenly realized, oh, I should have asked different questions.
Interesting.
And once I did know that, and I also sent out some stuff about, you know, what are the things that you're using in WordPress, and I asked them about, you know, some specific integrations, and are they trying to do like customer relationship management with it, and stuff like that, because I was kind of just poking around to see what would be the next niche that I would want to really go to. And so that follow-up survey that I sent was actually more detailed, trying to understand, like, how do you use WordPress for customer relationship management? What's important to you? What integrations do you want to pull data from? What integrations do you want to shove data to?
And you sent this to the people that responded only, or back to everybody?
I didn't send it back to everybody. I sent it to the people that responded and answered yes to a certain set of a couple of questions.
Sure. Smart. Okay.
So basically I kept narrowing it down. Like, they qualified themselves,
mm-hmm.
so that I knew that I was talking to, you know, the right people basically. And so of those 300, I still had like 100 of them that had answered yes to this question. And I got probably about 85 of them. The numbers are still changing a little bit, and I didn't check them since this morning. But last I checked, about 85 of them had actually responded again. That was a second survey sent in like 48 hours after the first survey. And they sent it again, responded again, and they gave me, you know, even better data about this at this point. So I haven't like crunched through all of that yet, but just the sheer quality and volume of what they told me has kind of energized me into thinking that maybe I can solve a problem that's going on, I think, in the WordPress space about customer relationship management, and that WordPress is sort of like it's an afterthought as an integration, like, oh, we should probably be in WordPress, or, you know, you'll be over in WordPress and they'll be like, oh, well, we should probably integrate to this or this or this. But it's not like, what is it that makes WordPress special? And what if I put that in the center of the universe? How is somebody going to use this around their WordPress site? Nobody's really looked at it that way.
Mm-hmm. So what would an example be, you think? I mean, just spitballing.
Oh, gosh. I couldn't even spitball an example at this point, just because I'm trying to figure out what everybody was really wanting, you know, because that's the problem, right? We as business owners and entrepreneurs, we're trying to self-impose our own solutions onto other people.
Yeah, because we're so fucking smart. Yeah.
Because we're so fucking smart. We're not fucking smart. We're really fucking stupid sometimes. I mean, hello, there's Support Vine right there. That's a total, you know, I imposed my ideas on somebody else's, and I should have just been asking questions about the customers. So, you know, I'm going for the opposite approach here. So that's why I'm like, I don't want to self-impose my solution yet. I'm still trying to understand what everybody else's needs and use is before I do that. So, yeah, it's not that I'm trying to be coy with the question, but I think that it's actually it's relevant to think of it that way. Like, if I start creating a preconceived solution now, I'm probably already, you know, throwing away some good customer data and not paying attention to the customer's perspective and trying to create my own.
Yeah,
so,
very, very fair, very fair, but probably hard to stay as objective as you are. So, kudos.
Yeah, yeah. So that's my big thing this week, is that, you know, I've just been going through this data, trying to figure out what the hell is going on, what do people want, how are they using it, and, you know, just the fact that I got so many responses and so much good information is really exciting, you know? It's been a while since I've been this enthusiastic about my business.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's amazing. I mean, first of all, it's a huge list, and I think it's a huge asset to you, and I'm going to say you can write your ticket, but it's very smart. And you and I have not talked about this before, but I think very smart for you to focus on your strength and where you have an audience and a lot of authority, both sort of technically and professionally, from a business standpoint, to continue to build your portfolio out there. I mean, we talked about pricing a few episodes ago, but man, there's no reason you can't take something that's a one-time tool to begin with, and, you know, this time next year, make it a SaaS tool. Like, you know, we talked about Opt-in Monster and some of those tools that are, you know, moving bigger than WordPress into SaaS, and maybe using WordPress, you know, like Drip does. I mean, Drip sits in WordPress a lot of times, but it in and of itself is not a WordPress tool. So I think it's a very smart move to continue to grow.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing that I've definitely realized at this point is that a WordPress plugin is definitely going to be much faster to create, iterate on, throw out there, get customer feedback than any kind of SaaS tool I could do at this point. Mm-hmm. And like you said, I could, you know, if this gets to a point where, you know, my initial pricing model on this is not going to be SaaS, because that's actually one of the pieces of feedback I got from, you know, WordPress developers that are out there are like, you know, I need something that's affordable. I can't do a monthly charge. My client doesn't want to spend $15 a month on whatever it was. So it's like, oh, well, that's an interesting data point. So that tells me something about the WordPress community itself. You know, they kind of want to throw down some money and know that's what it's going to cost me, not I have this ongoing expense. And most CRM solutions sort of push that way, right? In fact, all SaaS tools do. So that's another way to sort of differentiate myself in the WordPress space here, is to say, all right, my pricing model is going to be something that I am trying to cater specifically to WordPress folks, whereas the other guys are like, well, we're just catering to anybody. And maybe there are people that want to pay that, but the WordPress guys don't. So, yeah.
I love it, man. That's super smart. I mean, I think, you know, and this is just sort of being a third-party observer a bit, but, you know, we also talked, I don't know, a few episodes ago now about the fact that upfront pricing in a non-SaaS model moves all of the customer value to the front, which, you know, breaking off that last bit of consulting you're doing and, you know, getting to where you can do this full time and put all of your efforts into growing a portfolio of WordPress, putting all that value up front is not a bad deal to infuse some capital, right?
Yeah, and it definitely seems to resonate with the WordPress community.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Most importantly, right? The customers, right. The customers are saying that's what they want. Yeah.
The customers say that's what they want. I have, you know, several years of history that says the customers are definitely willing to do this, and that it's the recurring part that's harder. So, yeah. I mean, that's where I'm headed right now.
Nice. So, what's the next step?
Well, I got to crunch that data, and oh my God, that's a lot of data.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got the original survey, which has some good stuff in it, and I actually found some core insights in there. It's uncertain at this point if I have the technical ability to fix the problems that they're identifying. So they brought up some things like, gosh, you know, it's really hard to deal with upgrades on plugins and themes, and I just have no idea if something's going to conflict or not.
Oof.
And yeah, well, I mean, it's a huge problem, and I felt that pain myself. In fact, every time I go through my dashboard of plugins, you know, I'll just blindly throw everything on there because I know I'm on WP Engine. If it's all screwed up, I can just go to a backup. But, you know, I that's a concern of mine. Every time I hit that button, say, update all now. I hope it all works.
Yeah.
And it's not like I have tons of time to test all of it exhaustively. So I can see that that would be a major thing that somebody would want. But the problem is, I think that that is a daunting technical problem to actually get around and solve cohesively so that somebody could actually get value out of it. So I'm not sure I can actually act on that insight, but it's definitely interesting.
Also the sort of thing they might throw in core at some point, right? I mean, they did like the theme preview, live theme preview thing a few iterations ago. I mean, that sort of a soft update of plugins is the kind of thing that seems like WordPress itself would do.
Maybe. You know, they would obviously have the same technical challenges I would, although there's a lot of really smart WordPress people that are working on the WordPress core, way smarter than me or my team. So
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I shouldn't say yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're definitely smarter than you, Dave. Most people are. It's okay. Anyway.
Too funny.
Yeah. So that's where things have been going. And as far as the next steps, you know, I don't really have any specific insights beyond that at this point.
Well, that's great. Yourself? That's great. Yeah, man. Things are good. You know, Podcast Motor continues to grow. You know, we experienced some churn, and I'll call it churn for lack of a better term, I guess. But
well, if people left, that's churn.
yeah. I guess I would reserve churn for a SaaS, but typically, but anyways, yeah. So we had some churn a few months ago, I guess, and have been doing a lot of work to put systems and sort of internal reporting in place to make sure that people are doing episodes and recording episodes and sending them to us on a regular basis. Cause that's why people churned is, you know, they went a month without doing an episode. Understandably, they don't want to pay $300, $400, $500, $600, depending on the plan they were on, for nothing. So you know, we're doing a few things to really, give more visibility to ourselves and then in turn back to the customers, as to, you know, what they've been doing and what those numbers look like to try and prevent churn. And so internally we're kind of tracking things. We use Trello as our project management tool, and I think we'll stay with Trello for a while. We had talked about moving to Teamwork, and I just don't think we need to right now. But, so within Trello, one of the folks on the team is starting to keep kind of a spreadsheet, based on the Trello cards and, tracking that. And at the end of this month, we're going to start sending our first monthly report to customers. And saying, okay, you know, this month you did 2, 3, 4 episodes. We have visibility into most of their analytics, and to be able to say, okay, you had this many downloads for these episodes, and overall it would look like this, and we can go into something like, Buzzsumo that talks about like how much things were shared socially, so we can get some of those analytics for free, or you know, from sort of open third parties, and just give up probably just a one page report, maybe two pages, for the customers that. You know, they're on what we call our concierge service, where we do all the posting and stuff. So we have information about their analytics and access to their site, where they would have Google Analytics or something like that, maybe. And we can be asked to be added to their Google Analytics dashboard as kind of read only or something. But so we're doing that, and I think it gives us good insight both internally and customer facing, which should increase their perceived value of what we're doing. Say, hey, wow, this is great. I'm doing episodes and they're making a difference and more people are coming to my site. And then they can kind of from there go to, okay. And then because I had an uptick in X number of visitors to the site in general, my conversions should be this. And that, you know, in turn makes the podcast more valuable by this amount or something. We're not going to take them all the way through that, but we kind of get them to second base maybe. So that's been cool, and I guess the bigger news, I guess, within the business is we are hiring our first full-time employee.
Woohoo!
Yeah. So it's terrifying.
It's terrifying to know that you are actually responsible for the livelihood of somebody else, isn't it?
Yeah. No, and it's not like this person freelanced and just is coming on full-time with us. They had a day job and had been working with us since pretty much the beginning. But left their day job to work for Podcast Motor. So it's incredible. It makes me feel really good. It makes me feel very nervous and anxious to sort of have to provide for somebody. But it's very necessary for the business. And she is going to be running all of the sort of internal process of getting a show kind of from start to finish. And we will be transitioning soon, as in like this month, to kind of turning on all of the customer communication for existing accounts and shows to her. So I will still do, like, a new customer comes on, I'll get them set up, and I'll get their show set up just because it's really involved. And then I'll build the documentation and the process out for that show and then hand it off to her after it's established, or if we sort of take over an existing show, I'll be able to do that a lot easier. You know, setting up a site and a feed and a hosting account and all that stuff is a little more complex. Not that she couldn't do it in the future, but it's not something we want to tackle right now. So, you know, out of our 20 or so customers, we provide, you know, our concierge level service to about half of them. And so we're going through the process of training her how to post each of the shows. They're all a little different. I mean, they're all basically the same, but the details are all very different. You know, this one uses Libsyn, and this one uses Blueberry, and this one uses SoundCloud, and this one doesn't use anything, and so you got to do something different there. And so it's all, you know, it's great. It's great, and it's going really well. She's really engaged, obviously, and I think, you know, the lesson for me really is the biggest criteria I had was to have like 100% confidence in the person that I wanted to hire.
okay. All right. Sorry. That I didn't mean to laugh at you, but I'm laughing at you.
Okay. No, that's fine. That's fine.
I think that particular insight right there is one that, you know, I think we all want that. But the reality is you never truly get that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's always like, I mean, yeah, you're like 90% sure, 80% sure, but you'll never get to the like 100% until you've been with them for like months and months and months. And you're like, okay, I just know that this is going to get handled. And even then, you know, shit happens.
Yeah, yeah. And
like,
so that's
oh, yeah, sorry, you know, my mother ended up in the hospital. I had to go AOL for 3 days, you know, it's like, or AWOL. So you just never know. You never know. But yes, you never get that 100% confidence, but you can get a very high level of confidence.
You're such an ass. No. So that is not true. I have 100% confidence that she will literally do everything she can for the business. And it's for a couple of reasons. And this is some of these are huge stereotypes. So forgive me if I speak against a category that a listener might be in here. But one, she is the first person that we sort of brought on as a whatever, you know, consultant or freelancer. She's the first person we brought on. So I've been working with her for 6 months. And for a, you know, 8 month old business, that's a long time. She is, I'll say middle aged, right? And she's been in the professional workforce for whatever, some time, 20 years, you know, something like that. And she's proven herself to be totally dependable and willing to do whatever, whenever, and very dedicated and flexible. And this is not a bad thing. It kind of comes off as a bad thing. She gave up a fair amount to quit her job to come work with us and is sort of putting it on the line to be successful, right? So it's not like she's just a freelancer, and if this doesn't work out, she'll just go be a freelancer for someone else. I'm sure she could, but there's a lot of things that make her really want this to be successful.
Well, no, see, that's a little different, right? So the way that you were talking about this, I obviously didn't have the context in there.
No. But that's why I think it's important for me to explain it, because
sure,
it's a huge decision. And I think, you know, talking to some other people, it's the biggest decision they might make in their business, like the first person you hire and what they do and how successful it is. And it's definitely something that you don't take lightly.
No, absolutely not. And since you've already been working with her for 6 months and she's, you know, basically throwing in this massive vote of confidence for you by quitting her own job after spending all this time with you. I mean, that says just tons and tons about her and her character, her dedication to this business. And you've obviously worked through any sort of personality issues and culture issues that you would have. You know, is she a good fit? Are you a good fit? You've gotten past all that. If this had been like a cold hire and you had just gone through an interview process, I would have said that 100% confidence was poorly placed.
Oh,
yeah. In your case here, that's a whole different ball of wax.
Yeah. So, long and short of it is, you know, and I guess kind of take it back to what we said at the beginning, you know, the grind is, you know, I think you're at a bit a different point in the grind, really kind of like finding a new direction. Which is a bit exciting and a bit daunting, right? Because you're having to shift direction after, you know, going after Support Vine for so long, and feeling really good about going all in WordPress. We're definitely all in with Podcast Motor and building a productized business, and to the point where, you know, hired somebody just to focus on the service. Some other things that we've talked about before, as far as, you know, building out technology around it and selling information products and stuff like that around it, pretty much taking those and at least shelving them for now to say, like, we need to take what we have and fine tune it down to the finest level of what our process is and our people and the quality of the material we put out, and raising that as much as we can to increase our price and our value to customers, and bringing on more customers to take, you know, our revenue from where it is now to 3 or 4 times that. Because what I see is that we have, you know, hiring our first full-time employee and sort of looking at our second one already, who will also be sort of an internal person, the ability to, at this point, really ramp it up is on the horizon. But we're at the point where the hard work is being done now to really standardize as much as we can, which is proving kind of hard as a podcast, because everyone wants to do everything a little different. And it's honestly kind of tough to push back on it, you know?
Well, you're a concierge service. I mean, the whole point of hiring a concierge service is that you kind of want it your way, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nobody goes to the concierge and says, yeah, I'll take a Big Mac and fries. Okay. They're like... go to the concierge service and they're like, I'd like a steak dinner, but could I have the creamy horseradish on the side, and I'd like half of it medium rare and the other cooked well done, and put some pepper on it and a side salad of kale. You know, they're going to give you a million different things that they want done differently.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, no, you're absolutely right. And so what it says to me is a few things. One is, we should price ourselves accordingly, which we're doing gradually over time, increasing our prices because the product we're putting out continues to get better.
Sure.
The amount of work we put in on a show continues to go up for most customers. Some customers are just great and they come in and say, here's the audio. Let me know when it's published. Some come in and say, I want my hands on everything and it needs to be done 3 days ahead of time so I can proof it. And then you'll have to make changes. And so we have a different sort of relationship with different customers. The other thing is over time, I think what we'll see is we do have to maintain some level of standardization and we can't be everything to everyone. And we will probably start saying no some as well. You know, so we won't cook veal. You know, we're a steakhouse.
Yeah. I'm sorry. We're an ethically sourced meat place. We won't do veal.
Right. Right. And so that's kind of, you know, something we're looking at. And it's a little challenging to figure some of that stuff out. And I don't have a good way of putting it, I guess. But, you know, having people come in on a regular basis and say, well, yeah, not this, but this, and I want it like that, and this was kind of weird, and next time you do that, can you use a semicolon instead of a comma? And, you know, some of those things are hard, and I've done a lot of thinking and talking to my wife and talking to the people on the team, and I think the reality is, for multiple reasons, is I have to remove myself as much as possible from the day-to-day stuff for two reasons. One, so we can grow. Because as long as I have my fingers and everything, we won't have 50 customers, you know? I can be the one to add two new customers a month, and that's fine, and I can do that. But if I'm doing anything with a show on a regular basis, I will, most importantly, I'll get burnt out with the nitpicky changes and details that customers understandably, right? I would be the same way if someone was handling my podcast. They want it a certain way, and that's fine, but I can't be the one to field all of those suggestions and feedback.
Absolutely. Yeah. And this is where the grind comes in, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can wear yourself down doing all of that stuff. And if you are just materially involved in that day-to-day operational crap, you lose the ability to move on to other things. In fact, the thing that I have actually struggled with the most in the past 6 weeks was first just getting past Support Vine and trying not to jump into another SaaS. But once I got through that, the next thing I really needed to do was, all right, how can I balance my, you know, because I'm still the guy that handles all the second level tech support. I've got two guys that do front level in the forum stuff, and they'll triage the very basic things, and that does filter a lot of work out. But there's a lot of people that just contact directly with email, and they've got higher level problems, and I've got to debug that stuff and sometimes hand it off to my developer. Sometimes, you know, it's already above my pay grade, and I'm like, here, hand it to my developer, because I'm like, I have no clue what the hell's going on here. You got to just dig into it and figure it out. So it's, you know, usually my job to play traffic cop on a lot of that stuff. And while it doesn't take a ton of time, you know, I can probably get it done in an hour a day is pretty typical. Two, if it's like a really heavy day. But that hour or two still is time and energy and focus that it's costing me. And, you know, there's only a certain number of hours in the day, and I still have a consulting client that I have to service. And between those two, if I don't balance my time properly, then I've got nothing left to sort of do this new research to send out, like to build that survey, for example. The first round, you know, I had so-so questions, and then I had to sit down and really think about what were the right questions to ask in the second round. How can I be more focused about this? What were the pieces of data that I got in that were really juicy, but I didn't quite get exactly what I wanted from? Or what can I ask that's a better follow-up question to some of these things? And that took a lot of time and focus and energy of mine to really work on. And when I'm working on that, I'm not working on my support. And just going back and forth between those two is a real hassle, and it can definitely drag down my energy during the day. If I'm having to balance those three tasks, it's a major pain, and it can really wear you down.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I think that that's the lesson, really, is structuring your business and the things that you're involved in on a regular basis to suit your, I don't want to say personality, what you're able to sort of handle in your capacity emotionally and time-wise, and unload the things. Obviously, we've talked about this 100 times. Unload the things that you can't or don't want to deal with. But, I mean, I'm finding right now that it's much more a emotional capacity thing than a time thing. Because I have the time, but I don't have the emotional capacity to be in the weeds all the time, every day.
Yeah. I mean, there are days that I open up my email and I'm like, if I have to hear about somebody else with a plug-in conflict just one more fucking time.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking shoot them. Yeah, send their money back. Like, yeah. No, I know.
And I realize that's absolutely the wrong attitude. Like, if that's the way you're going to approach your customer support on your first hour, you're already screwed. I mean, it's not going to get better from there, right? You're not going to be, after like 10 more customers, you're like, oh yeah, it's all roses and unicorn poop now. It's no, not even close. You have to, you know, make a decision. What is it that you're going to focus on, and how are you going to manage your emotional capital at that point? And like you said, you've got a limited amount of that. And some days I'm like, the less I say to the customers today, the better, probably. and I have deferred stuff, and I'm like, yeah, sorry, I wasn't available yesterday, and I'll just apologize and get that. And I can be a better customer support guy if I just give a little bit of time. So, you know, that was a thing that Sarah Hatter had mentioned in a MicroConf talk. Like, if you're angry at your customers and you don't want to talk to them, you should get the hell out of customer support, because you don't belong there anymore. And there are days I feel like that. It's not happening every day, but there are still days I feel like that. So that's definitely part of the grind, right? If you're doing the same thing all the time, it just kind of wears you down. You need to change it up. You gotta move on to something else for a little while, whether that's just getting up and taking a walk, or switching tasks and shutting off your email so you're not doing customer support, or picking something more strategic to work on, or, you know, listen to a podcast, whatever. It doesn't matter. You got to switch those gears and get out of that previous mentality and be ready to move on to something else.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that, you know, an important thing, distinction here is I do really enjoy collaborating with our customers for their shows and strategizing about, you know, publish it here and publish it there and optimize for keywords here and there. And I love all that stuff. And I want to stay loving it. Right. And I think that's an important thing. And your version of that with support for your plugins is the same thing, I'm sure, is you love what you do and operating in the WordPress space and within your plugins and your customers and keeping yourself fresh to stay loving it, because it's a marathon, not a sprint, is, you know, those things are all super important. So,
yeah. Yeah. And, you know, my number one competitive advantage has always been better customer service. So, and I get that. I really do get a charge out of making people successful. And if I can walk you through the few problems that you're having, and all of a sudden you're like, I love this plugin, it's like, that makes my day.
Yeah.
That really makes it all worth it. But, you know, not every day can you be ready to put in that, you know, hi, this is Dave from Business Directory Plugin. How can I help you? You know, and mean that. It's you just have to recognize that and know how to manage it, you know?
Yep. Yep. So, yeah, and I guess my last update is, you know, relating to this and sort of pivoting hopefully a large amount of the day-to-day operations away from me and to Becky, the gal that we're hiring full-time, and to some other members of the team, is my ability to really look at sales and marketing on as much of a full-time basis as I can. And it's a little daunting, I guess, is the truth. I mean, I am in sales and I have a sales background. Sales is exciting, but it's also a little scary. You go out there and you put yourself out there, and sometimes it doesn't work. And we've been successful. You know, Podcast Motor has gotten a lot of good initial traction, and we've grown from our first few customers largely by word of mouth. And now the daunting part, I guess, is looking at doing real sort of like scaled marketing and sales, right? So ongoing cold email campaigns and running something like Facebook ads, and we've been doing a lot of content marketing, and it's really helping our brand, but really kind of trying to optimize that and getting into email marketing a lot more. We have a list of about 100 people now, and so like how do we really kick that up, and how do we start using that list once it gets to a critical mass? So I hope to be able to report a lot more back on how the business is really growing from, you know, 20 or so customers to, you know, our goal is to have 50 customers in the next few months. That's going to take a lot of work, and I'll learn a lot along the way. So I'm excited about that, and I'm excited to be able to transition into that role because it really means the business has matured. But between now and then, it's going to be a shit ton of work to get the business there. So,
and a shit ton of grind. Don't forget that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be grinding.
Yeah. not that kind of grinding.
This is a family-friendly episode. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, hey, so speaking of family-friendly, this is probably the last episode that we record that comes out before the Rhodium weekend.
Ah, yes.
So Dave and I are both going to be in Vegas at the week before Halloween for the Rhodium weekend, which is a conference that Chris Yates, former guest on the podcast, puts on along with his business partner. That sort of deals in the entrepreneurial space and online business, both as a sort of straight business and growth conference, but also a buying and selling websites, focus as well. So it'd be interesting, to go out there and kind of hear what people have to say, meet a bunch of people that are really kind of top notch business folks. So I'm excited. I don't have any real expectations, but I'm just excited.
As am I. In fact, I guess I should have mentioned that as another update, is that sort of in the background, in addition to, you know, developing the WordPress thing, which is an obvious direction for me at this point, you know, instead of actually going and trying to build another SaaS business, I've kind of got my eye out trying to see if I can actually buy a SaaS business of a reasonable price. And I've discussed it with my wife, and she's on board if it makes sense. And, you know, she knows that I can do the due diligence. But Rhodium Weekend is obviously a great place to hook up with other people that are doing that, get some insight from people in the industry, talk to brokers who have properties for sale, like David from FE International is going to be there. So, in fact, I was just emailing him this morning, so I'm excited to actually meet him in person. I think this will be a good conference. And if anybody is actually out there, I would totally encourage you to try to track us down and come by and say hi. Tell us what you think of the podcast, and we'd love to chat and buy you a beer or your beverage of choice.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, I'm super excited. I met Thomas Smale at MicroConf Europe in Barcelona a month or so ago, and had a couple too many beers with him, which is not a hard thing to do with an Englishman. It's you're always the last one at the party anytime you're hanging out with the Brits. And he's a fantastic dude. He kind of runs at least the London branch of FE International. And Mark Doust is a customer of ours. He runs Quiet Light Brokerage, which is kind of the high end version of FE International in the kind of 7-figure range that you're probably looking at, Dave. So
seven or eight, you know, maybe
right,
nine.
Right.
Yeah. Is it all right if I sell Podcast Motor as part of the way my assets to sale here?
You get $5,000 for it these days, probably. I think it's going to be a great time. We are planning on doing some live podcasting, from there. And, I got to get my homework done on the best way to do that technically. So yeah, be a fun time, and it's Vegas. So, you know, we'll be rolling the bones too.
There you go.
Good deal. All right, my friend. Well, thank you. That was a lot of fun. And, you know, you guys head over to roguestartups.com. Leave us a comment. Let us know kind of what you think of the grind, how you've dealt with it, what, you know, what challenges specifically you've seen at going through the grind? You know, I think it does exist in this kind of middle part of the business. I don't think it's the dip. I think it's after the dip. But it is that, you know, the upward to the right is not always roses. So, you know, let us know how you've seen it and how you've dealt with it in the comments for this episode. We'd love to hear from you. We'll see you next time.
And that's our episode for this week. If you have any questions or comments, please let us know at podcast@roguestartups.com. Subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for Rogue Startups. And be sure to visit roguestartups.com for full show notes on each episode. If you're enjoying the show, we'd sure appreciate a review in iTunes. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.